When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Now, Alex Brown.
Alex Brown, you see him number 96.
9-year NFL veteran.
This is how they win.
And Bear for Life.
Their defense does everything for them.
Joins Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you on this Bears Monday. And we are joined now by a three-time All-American and three-time All-SEC selection, 2001 SEC Defensive Player of the Year, a finalist for the Nagurski and Lombardi Awards in 2001, set school records with 13 quarterback sacks in 1999, also a member of the University of Florida Athletic Hall of Fame, SEC legend. Here's former St. Alex Brown with us here on ESPN 1000. Alex, how are you?
What's going on? You know what? You were doing so well, and I was like, yeah, there's a curveball coming.
No,
here.
No. Wait,
former Saint.
You didn't like the introduction. I gave you your props, man. Congratulations.
I loved it.
Yes,
I absolutely loved it. You should. I would like the next time you do that.
Yes.
Can you say he was 4-0 against Georgia?
Your thoughts now about the Bears and their game against Green Bay?
Take that hoodie.
That wasn't on your resume here. That resume is fire. It didn't have Georgia on there. SEC legend, former Saint. Alex Brown with us here on ESPN 1000. All right, Alex, your overall thoughts. First and foremost, your thoughts about the Bears defensively against Green Bay. Go ahead.
I mean, you give up 29 points. That's always tough to come back and say whether they did a good job but were there some good things? Yeah, they did some good things early on. You saw with the number of guys out, I don't ever like leaning on that, but when you have if the talent isn't out there, then it's very hard to – these guys are trying. They're giving it their best, and they just don't have the talent to stay with Christian Watson or, like, some of the really talented guys on the other side. So – I thought they played hard. We just didn't have enough talent on defense to do anything. They seemed like they were coached fairly well throughout the week, and they knew their job assignment. But we just didn't get it done. Not that I went into the game thinking we would get it done. I mean, I've gotten people just crush me on Twitter lately. Like, can't believe you don't think the Bears can win. No, it's not that I don't think they can win, but we're not the better team. And I'm going to say who the better team is. So I just thought that we played hard. We had a chance to win. I think the game changed a lot with the missed extra point because it throws that game off at that point to a two-possession game where it should have been a one-possession game coming down at the end. And then you can really take your time and be very methodical on that last drive, whereas they had to try to rush because they know they needed two scores. So that's the dilemma is you're being put in when you miss an extra point.
So we were talking yesterday, Alex. I would love your perspective here. It looked like, and again, I think they play hard for Matt Eberflus every week, but it looked like there was an extra gear yesterday that this team was flying around and just... They're out, man. We saw a guy. Who's that guy in the corner covering the guy really well? What did you think of the defense's effort?
I thought they played hard. I mean, I think they play hard every week. I'm not one. I don't buy into the 110%. I think you have 100%. You give 100%. The 110% is. I think that's just. It just sounds good. You know, it's just like the whole next man up thing. It just sounds good because more than likely the next man up isn't as good as the first man up because if he was, then he'd be the first man up. So, like, it just doesn't – it sounds great. Sounds great. But I thought they played hard. I think they – ever since Eberflus got here, defensively, I mean, the one thing I've seen – I saw in previous years, I saw Robert Quinn, as far as the defensive line, he was the one turning and running. He was the only one in previous years. Now you see everybody turning and running. You got 5-6 guys in the screen, that final screen – when the tackle is being made. This is how you build a culture getting to the football, understanding, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's not just going to happen through 12 games. I mean, it's just, or through even 17 games. Like, you give it a season and a half and let's see where we're at, because you start to get the actual talent in there, and then you start to see really big plays being made. It's like we saw yesterday, we saw guys that were outmanned, but they can do their job. If you play hard, effort is something that I shouldn't have to question effort. Effort should be a given. Now, if you're just not tall enough, well, that's something that you can't control. But your effort, you absolutely can control and should control each and every day.
Former Bear and SEC legend Alex Brown with us every Monday at 9 o'clock right here on Cap and Jay Hood. So we've had a fun time watching Jack Sanborn, Cap and I, because we were on the ground floor saying, local guy, undrafted, Lake Zurich. Okay, so what's this guy going to be? But give us your overall thoughts on what you've seen from Jack Sanborn.
He runs and he hits, man. He's not this guy that I'm about to name. But what he does, it reminds me of that. When he was number 91, he ran and he hit. He ran fast and he hit people hard. That is what Sanborn is doing, and that was Lance Briggs' rookie year. He just ran and he hit people. I love what the kid's doing. I'm not saying he's going to be Lance Briggs, but we didn't know Lance Briggs was going to be Lance Briggs until we gave him a shot. So I'm saying give the guy a shot. I think he is making the most of his opportunity. I think he's earned that job moving into next year. Obviously, you got to come out and you got to continue to get better. But what he's doing right now has been nothing short of impressive. And he just keeps doing it week in and week out. I mean, I know there's a lot of people texting me, or not text, but they hit me up on like Twitter or Instagram, and they're just talking about, like, oh, he's not that good. He's not, and they're kind of waiting for him to kind of pull back, and he's not. He's not pulling back. He is still going. He's each and every week he does something that's helping you. That is something that you'll need to do when you're winning football games. He's not the problem. He's not a part of the problem. He will be a part of the solution moving forward. I think he's carving himself out a really, really good spot on this roster.
Alex, let's talk about the remainder of this season. Yesterday it was disappointing. Pardon me?
Do we have to?
Oh yeah, exactly. The remainder of this season, you got a bye week, then you get the Eagles, the Bills, at the Lions, and home with the Vikings. Would you play Justin the rest of this year? Because you would not have played him yesterday, correct?
I wouldn't have played him yesterday, no. Not if he's hurt. I'm not playing him if he's hurt. And we're not going anywhere. And then I just lost what I came into this season with. I just lost that number one receiver. So what am I doing? I'm not putting him out there in harm's way. I've seen what I needed to see. I think when he is 100% and he has help around him, this kid can be, he's going to be really good. So I don't want my quarterback to get hurt, honestly. And what we saw in the second half was Luke Getsy them calling plays in a way it seemed they didn't want him to get hurt because he was no longer running. Now we got a quarterback that's in the pocket and he's throwing the football. Oh, yeah, well, this is what people want. This is what they asked for. But we're not scoring points. I want to win. You win by scoring points. Last year, we could almost, like, you could almost just book it. We were not going to score 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed that way yesterday. Like, it was in the second half, I mean. That's what I'm talking about. In the second half, we moved the ball inside the 20s, and he'd rack up the yards, but we're not getting an end zone. You have a super dynamic player. If he can't be that player, then he should not be out there. Sometimes you got to protect us from ourselves. That's what it is. Like, sometimes the coaches and general managers, they have to do that because you can't just go at Justin. Hell yeah, he's going to say, I feel great. Let's go. And I'm sure he's going to be biting at the bit to get out there because he don't want to have to wait until September to start competing again.
So,
you know, or like wait so long to get back out there on the field and start competing against somebody other than his teammates. So I know he's not going to like it, but for what's best for the team in the future of this franchise, absolutely. I'd send him the next four games. He would not play.
Okay, so just to be clear, you would call him in, go, enjoy your bye week, but when you come back, Nathan Peterman and Tim Boyle are our quarterbacks. I'm protecting you from injury.
No, I mean, there is some... Wait, hold on. He is hurt. So whatever caused him to miss last week, that isn't healed.
I get that. Now. So what I'm saying is...
He's a great athlete. He's not Wolverine, okay?
So if Alex Brown was the GM, you would say to him, your season just ended. You're done.
Correct.
All right. Who are we cutting today, Coach Brown? Who are we cutting?
Well, he would have been cut. I wouldn't have to cut him.
Who? EQ St. Brown?
No. I am bringing in five kickers. I'm not cutting Santos, but I am bringing in five kickers over the course of today and tomorrow.
Mm.
I am. Because those situations, and that's not the problem. Obviously, we need a bunch of more talent on defense. We do. We got a lot of holes to fill. We have things on offense that we have to fix. I will say this. The offensive line, I thought Gabe Justin, for most of that game, gave him a good pocket, man. It was really, really nice to see. So kudos to them. Great job. But that extra point miss, and I got crushed the last time I said it, but it puts you in a position where it's 9 points instead of 8 points, instead of one possession where you can go down against Green Bay, Justin has the ball, we don't have to rush and try to make this touchdown or get a field goal really quickly. If it's 8 points, then we can be very methodical with this drive and get the ball in the end zone and just know we got to score 2 points to tie it up. When you miss that extra point, it puts you in a position where you have to score twice. It's a two-possession game. It's just you can't have it. You cannot have that, and he's missed a few. So are we just going to sit back and wait? Don't. I took Cap back to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched Cody Parkey miss that field goal, miss those field goals down in Miami. And nobody said anything. They kind of let it go. Just let it ride. And then it's going to come back and bite you in the butt later on. So I'm looking for other kickers. If I'm going to put a little pressure on him. He's not gone. If you have another outing like he had yesterday, he's gone. But I need to know who missed their block on that field goal, because I'm going to jump on them too. Because in order for him to do his job, you have to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody blocked the field goal and he missed the extra point. We can't have it.
All right, you heard it here first. Alex Brown wants Bayless Jones cut right now. All right, Alex, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for your insight.
Hey, congrats on an awesome weekend for your family being an SEC Hall of Famer. That's amazing.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. I appreciate it, guys. Go Gators.
That's enough, Alex. That's enough. You got Georgia in the national championship game, winning it, and you saying go Gators.
No, he actually thinks Ohio State's going to play him tough.
Who says that?
They're Alex.
No, and I told Cap this. Georgia's going to run through this whole group. They have no chance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They are.
Alabama's out of it. We're good. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you for the national championship.
Alabama should have been in.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, maybe another chance for a two-loss team to be in there one day. Yeah. Not this one. Crown me national champions.
Right. They're like, TCU's in. We're good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So happy about that. Alex Brown, as always, we appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for checking in. Hey, the Bears dropped their sixth straight yesterday, but Fields was great for most of it. Are you happy with another moral victory? Also still to come, some thoughts from Gregory Thomas Waddle, a screed that he sends to us regarding the Bears. Can't wait for that. That's coming up next right here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Whoops. Cap and G, A Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Cap, I'm in. I'm in.
You're in?
I got it right here. I've got the Screed 2 from Tommy Waddle.
There you go.
How about that? We're on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app, which you can find. Crosstalk Unhinged, Waddle and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. They are guys that work in blue. They're not the boys in blue, but they work blue. Not safe for work, but so much fun. Crosstalk Unhinged, available now on the ESPN Chicago app.
Yes, and again, happy birthday to Carmen DeFalco. Yesterday was Abdallah. Happy birthday to him as well.
Oh, okay. Hey, boy, a little WGN this morning. Go ahead.
Really?
Wishing everybody. Why don't you go to the birthday list? To Walter Cronkite's birthday.
No,
today.
Just two teammates.
What
That's
about
all.
The rest?
Screw them.
What's in Sneed today? What did Cup? Does Cup have birthdays?
He's not alive anymore.
He's not?
No. He's been dead for a long time.
Irv Cup's in it?
Yes.
It's in my paper.
Wow. All right. This is Tom Waddle from my perspective on my couch regarding the interception by Jaire Alexander on Equanimeous St. Brown's catch attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander never takes his eyes off of Justin Fields, never comes out of his back pedal. He sits on the route and stares in the backfield the entire play. Alexander is an excellent corner. He likes to settle and jump routes. It cost him earlier in the game where EQ ran by him, and again in the second half when he jumped at a hitch on N'Keal Harry. Justin scrambled, Harry took off, and beat him deep. Justin stared Brown down from the snap of the ball. EQ isn't Justin Jefferson. He's a fifth receiver for a reason. You have to try and run all routes with the same burst. And that's where I would fault Equanimeous. His nine and his curl or dig don't have the same burst. That allows Alexander to gamble. And at 6'5", he's a long strider and doesn't get out of his breaks like Darnell Mooney can. But Alexander wasn't going to come out of his back pedal, and he never took his eyes off the quarterback. He actually ran a better route than Brown ran. Ha ha. Not a felony on anyone's behalf. Alexander sat on the route, jumped it, and made a play. He's a Pro Bowler. That's where knowing your personnel is all a growth experience. Justin now knows Alexander jumps routes, especially against wide receivers that don't pose an enormous speed threat. When you have a nine route called against him, Justin knows there's a chance to make a play. When you have a hook or a dig against him in man, and the wide receiver's Equanimeous St. Brown, know he's going to jump it. In a perfect world, Justin sees the matchup, knows the route, knows Alexander's tendencies, and goes elsewhere with the football. Next time, he'll probably take a look left and look elsewhere. That's where matchup plays a role in decision-making. It's tremendous for a learning experience and much needed. Trevor Lawrence threw 17 interceptions last year and looks to have grown from it. We hyper-analyze everything. A veteran Pro Bowl caliber corner made an excellent play against an average receiver and a young QB. It happens. Brown needs work on making his routes look the same. Justin needs to be mindful of the matchup with the wide receiver or corner and be careful not to stare down receivers. Not sure the talk of it being a dig route. Ran as a hook, thrown as a hook. Tom Waddle.
So what do you think of that?
Look, he ran that route. But hearing that, Courtney said the same thing, that from what they were hearing, it was not a dig. Justin called it a dig. You have the audio there. But Tommy's telling you, as a young quarterback, you got to realize, well, that cornerback is a stud. He's a Pro Bowler for a reason. Our receiver, not so much. So maybe I choose not to go there next time. You got me once. Remember Maverick? I'm not leaving my wingman. He learned. Justin has to learn.
It was just on MeTV the other night. We go to Cousin Pete on the South Great Side movie. On ESPN 1000. Hey, Pete.
How's it going? Well, first, I want to say that I thought Justin probably played his best game as a passer, but I'm still concerned about fourth quarter Justin. Fourth quarter Justin still is awful. Probably the worst quarterback in the NFL in the fourth quarter. That has to improve.
He's the worst quarterback in the NFL in the fourth quarter. Is that what you said?
Statistically, yes.
Mm-hmm. Look who he's throwing to. Come on. What are we doing here, Cousin Pete?
He has NFL. He has starting players around him. Claypool's a starting receiver. Mooney's starting receiver.
Wasn't out there yesterday.
Tight end. He has starting players around him.
He does not have good players around him. Cole Kmet has had a very nice resurgence in his career. He's playing well. The rest of the whole thing out there, come on now.
So Claypool's in the starting receiver?
He's okay. He's fine. He was a three in Pittsburgh that they were ready to dump.
He was a two. He was a two, and they haven't replaced.
No, he was not a two in Pittsburgh. That's inaccurate. George Pickens and Deontay Johnson were both ahead of him. That's why they let him go.
He was a two. Either way, he's a starting receiver. Fields has to get better.
How about
he has to get better.
No one's disputing that fact. I don't disagree. He's got to get better.
Here's the other thing too. As a leader, the guys around Fields aren't saying, "Hey, you know what? You know, I was wide open. Fields didn't throw me the ball." Or, "Hey, Fields overthrew me by 10 yards." They're not throwing him under the bus. You know, he doesn't have enough cachet as a passer yet to throw St. Brown under the bus because he didn't run a perfect route or because he didn't fight hard enough for the ball. You got to take that interception on the chin and say, "Hey, you know what? We got to do better as a team."
How about this, Pete? I think that both things are true, in that you want him to be able to flourish and be better in the fourth quarter. But again, that comes with time. Cap and I talk about this all the time with young players. I don't care if they're on the Hawks or if the Bulls or the Cubs, Sox or Bears. It doesn't matter. With young players, you're not getting the genuine article. You're not getting all-star material in year one or year two all the time, unless you're overly special. Justin Fields, we believe, is going to be a special quarterback, but you do not become an all-pro. You do not become a Super Bowl quarterback just because you put on the uniform. It takes talent around you to get that done. And so, again, we're not saying that the offensive line has to be an iron gate and you have to have four wide receivers that's going to the Pro. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that it's going to be a process. It's not going to be when you want it. It's going to be when it's right. And so that's what it comes down to. The general manager, the head coach, the quarterback, those guys have to be on the same page for this to be able to work. Don't expect a Super Bowl championship in 2022. You expect it in the next couple of years when there's better talent around him.
As you astutely said earlier, it's all things can be true. Justin has to be better.
Sure.
They've got to put better talent around him. And then when I heard, I told you I heard Yurko and Sylvie screaming at each other in crosstalk the other day. And Yurko talked about having to learn how to win. That goes back to Tommy's text to us about learning. Go, okay, last time I took a shot and that Jair Alexander on my number five receiver jumped the route and made me pay. Guess what? I'm looking over there and I'm going over there.
Right. Cap, it just, to me, this back and forth in this debate nature, in this debate sports society that we're in, and there's always room for healthy debate. But when you have a 3-10 football team and you're trying to say, no, Claypool's a two, no, Claypool's a three, no, this play, hey, man, either way, the play was not executed by St. Brown. Period.
Correct.
Yeah, either way, Claypool has not been the difference maker that we thought a veteran wide receiver should be.
And then he hurt his knee yesterday on top of it.
All I'm saying is that it's all encompassing. When you're 3-10, there is no, well, it's not the coaching staff, it's the players. No, it's not the players.
It's all
the coaching staff. It's everything because everyone's learning at the same time.
Agreed. Well said.
This is back and forth of, again, this debate culture that we have over our shoulders every morning is about, well, who's to blame? When you're 3-10, everybody deserves the blame. Everybody.
Well said. I completely agree. We have a first-time play caller. We have a first-time head coach. We have a first-time D coordinator, Alan Williams.
Yeah.
You have a first-time starting quarterback in this system in Justin. And you got a first-time left tackle, a fifth-round pick. I mean, come on now. We're better than that.
312-332-3776, our phone number. Coming up, we'll take more of your phone calls. And also, Danny's going to put money in your pocket in one moment right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN
ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget Greeny coming up at 10, followed by Carmen and Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvia at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, football, Bears all day right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Talking to you about the Bears, it is 3:35 in the afternoon in London, England. We say hello to Barlissimo. Barlissimo is with us on ESPN 1000. All right, George, good morning.
Festive greetings, gentlemen. It's good afternoon.
Festive greetings to you.
Hello, bruv.
Hi, mate. The whole argument about is it roster, is it coaching? I don't think it's coaching or roster. I think it's coordination, which has been a lot of the issue. On Sunday, we saw what was, at best, reserves of our roster in the secondary. Now, one of the things that you can say is if you're going to get beaten in man, yes, you can say you were beaten by the better man. So if you're one against one, man against man, in man coverage, and you get beaten, fair enough, that's a better player. And you say the coach is putting that person necessarily, if they're single covered and nobody else, yet the coach put them in a bad position. When you're in zone coverage most of the time, which the Bears are in pass coverage, we give away far too much easy yards, and that's because our zone discipline is terrible. Now, that isn't players, that is coaching. That is telling them what to do in the first place. But the coordination is looking at who you're against, looking at what they have in weapons, and then making the decision to say, we're going to give free release off the line, and we're going to give them, you know, fast, big fast guys running across zones, where you've got linebackers trying to cover that can't cover, you know, Christian Watson running across the zone. You're going to get picked on a pick play, fine, that's a man thing. You accept that, because every now and again that happens. Defensive coordinator, Alan Williams has done it before. He was horrendous in his first go. He's been horrendous this time around. Getsy is learning on the fly at the NFL level in terms of as a coordinator calling plays. Now, his adjustments in early second half, his scripted plays in the first quarter, generally speaking, we seem to do pretty well in those areas.
All right, George, I got to stop you. You want to say Alan Williams has been horrendous, to use your word.
Yeah, yes.
He gets no pressure on the quarterback because he's got no talent up there.
Cap, you're running four against five, if not six, with a halfback in there. So tight end or halfback, that's six men against four. If you're solely going to run four, and then you're going to drop seven into coverage, and those seven are covering two, three receivers, and you're not even doing that because you're terrible in zone, that's a problem on the coordination. It's not on the four people that you know are understaffed.
Okay, and you're telling me then that the defensive coordinator, who's the head coach of the team, has no input and isn't changing anything. He's like, yeah, whatever you want to run, Alan. That's not happening.
He is. And he said at the start of the season, he's letting him run it. Now, the adjustments that we've seen early in the second half, I think that's Flew saying to Williams, you need to change this, you need to change this. We see it in the third quarter, and then we drop off in the fourth. Every single game, Cap, this is not anecdotal. This is all on the tape, which I'm willing to go through. You know, the second quarter and the fourth quarter is, generally speaking, we're on offense and defense. We are not at our best. And like Flew has said, he's letting Williams coach his, he's letting Getsy coach his. Now, Flew's, I believe, and again, this is not hearsay, this is just a belief. I believe Flew's is basically making adjustments into the third quarter. That's why we tend to stiffen up in the third quarter. But after that, obviously the other side of the field, they are making adjustments, and then we don't have the accuracy offensive coordinator.
George, we have the worst defensive roster in the National Football League, and that is without a doubt. The worst. The worst. We've got nobody that pressures the quarterback. I love Jack Sanborn.
Oh,
I mean, the last two games, you haven't had Brisker, you haven't had Gordon, Kendall Vildor, he's okay. We've got no talent up there. None. Zippo.
Now, if you want to make the case that Alan Williams will not be here when the Bears' defense is good, you can make that projection, because that's 2 or 3 years down the line.
Right.
But to say that Alan Williams is the reason why the Bears can't get a pass rush, and you can't do it with the no-name defense.
Yeah, and where I push back, and I love George, where I push back him is Flus is only making adjustments. I'm going to let him coach how he wants to coach. No shot. He's got a headset on, and if he doesn't like the defensive call, he hits his little talk back, goes, no, I want this. They talk, they collaborate. It's not, I'm just going to stand here and watch, and we get in the locker room, I'll make the adjustments for the third quarter or at the end of the first. No chance.
All right, we will continue here on this Bears Monday. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number.
Love you, George.
Miami, Florida, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's our buddy Pete on ESPN 1000. All right, Pete.
Petey Pete!
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Happy belated birthday, Cap.
Thank you. You too. Happy holidays.
And Hoodie, hope you guys have a happy holidays.
Thank you, sir.
I'm listening to everyone call for weeks and days now about Justin Field. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. He has nothing to work with. This is like you, Cap, or you, Hoodie, trying to do a radio show with someone that speaks in sign language. There is no talent. The Bears have exceeded my expectations for this season, because I thought they were going to win two games when the schedule came out and the roster they were going to put on the field. So they've exceeded my expectations. Everything goes down to April now. Just don't get another Kevin White or Mitch Trubisky situation. They're going to be fine. And when it comes to development, the field development, I'll look at field development next year better. When he has competent receivers and a competent team to put on the field. This is about surviving the year and not getting killed.
That's why Alex Brown would not play him the rest of the season. Okay, you're done. Have a good year.
Yeah.
I'm done with you. You're not playing.
He doesn't have to prove anything else to me. The young man wants to play, that's fine. But sometimes you have to protect him from himself. His choice was to go out there and play. Rodgers played. Both guys are banged up, and you saw the result yesterday. Pete, as always, we appreciate your phone call. Thanks for checking in. In Fort Campbell, Tennessee, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, here's Brandon on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm on the Kentucky side of Fort Campbell, but, yeah, we split two states. What I mean? It's a big spot.
Yeah, your postal address is in Kentucky, but you say you're on the Kentucky side, not the Tennessee side, right?
Yeah, half the post is split Tennessee, the other half Kentucky.
Okay.
The best part's on Kentucky, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
<Yeah.
laughs> All right. What do you think? You saw the game. What did you think?
Oh, yeah. I watch every Bears game. But what I think is I have to tip my hat to that third-string, fourth-string rookie backfield we had yesterday in the defense. As banged up as we are and as, like, just knocked around as that secondary is of like one original starter back there yesterday, we gave Rodgers some fits. Like he didn't look very good yesterday, and I got to tip my hat to those guys, getting in the saddle and taking care of business the best they could. We're banged up. We're a rebuilding team. But you know what? One thing I can always count on for my Bears, they're always going to swing back until it's over.
Brandon, we appreciate your phone call. Call again, my friend. Thanks so much for checking in. Listening on the ESPN Chicago app, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Here's Marcus on ESPN 1000 with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Our guy.
Marcus.
What's up, guys? Man, I appreciate you taking my call.
Darling.
As always. Hey, man, I want to say I know some fans hate to lose to the Packers, but it was a great loss yesterday. It will pay off next year. A win would not have – I don't know how it would have made us feel – this morning, I would have hated it if we would have won yesterday. But I do want to correct, but I feel like Alex Brown was wrong about Justin Fields. He's saying, it made it seem like he was saying the Bears didn't score points because Justin Fields was being the dropback quarterback. He put up yards but no points. I would say that was more because of play calling. I don't think it was just because of Justin Fields wasn't running the ball.
Yeah, I just wonder, because of his injury with his shoulder, if Luke Getsy... All right, I can't call that, and that. I got to call just from this side of the sheet. I just would like to know.
Yeah, but even when you looked at some of the everyone talks about the possession where I think we had, I don't remember, we got pushed back, and then we had ran the ball twice on first and second, and then we finally threw the ball. The play calling was suspect. It was just suspect. But you might be right, Cap. Maybe it's because of the injury.
Yeah, Hoodie's even said he only ran it, what, how many times in the second half? Barely.
Barely ran in the second half of that game.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, appreciate you.
All right, coming up next, we got some breaking news in the NFL that you must hear, plus the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. All part of the mix on Cap and J-Hood.
This hour brought to you by Twin Peaks. Got an appetite for football? Head to your favorite Twin Peaks and catch all the big games this weekend. Grab a 29-degree draft beer and enjoy the ultimate sports lodge.
Captain J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Breaking news.
Wait a minute.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Hang on.
ESPN 1000.
We turn now to David Kaplan with breaking news here on Cap'n J Hood. David, go ahead.
The Panthers are releasing Baker Mayfield. According to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Mayfield will hit the streets. He's now learning to pronounce the word Kyle. Kyle, meet Baker. Baker, meet Kyle, as in Shanahan. San Francisco, welcome. You're getting a new quarterback. That's how you get around the trade deadline. You're telling me that the owner of the Panthers doesn't call San Francisco? Hey, make it worth my while down the road. We'll scoot behind the rules. I'll release the kid. He'll go to you, and 2 years from now, I'll get some stud for a seventh-round pick. Done!
The only way this works, Shay, you tell me. My first blush reaction is, for this to work, Baker has to stay out of the way.
Ultimate, just go in, play quarterback.
Stay out of the way, though.
Yeah. Be a game manager.
That's right. Now, can he do that? No, because he got to stick his beak in there because of the Progressive commercials. He's got to show you how great he is. If he doesn't stick his beak in there, there's a chance.
Where are you finding a guy of that quality? I'm not telling you he's great. Of that level of competence, who'd they just pick up off the practice? Oh, Josh Johnson, who's
great boxer back in the day, wasn't he?
That was Jack.
Oh.
Josh used to be with Tampa Bay, and he's been a billion different places. They claimed him off somebody's practice squad. We got Tim Boyle. You can't find a guy of the number one overall pick just happens to hit the street in December? My ass, that's an absolute conspiracy.
Well, to be fair, number one overall pick is also dog bleep for the majority of his career.
He's more competent than anybody they could possibly have on their roster.
Including Cam Newton, right?
Cam Newton's done.
Including...
So might Baker Mayfield be.
Yeah, exactly. Drew Brees, put the headset down, put the hair on.
My brother calls me last night because he loves the Niners team.
Yeah.
What about bringing Phillip Rivers out of retirement?
No!
He's a high school coach now. No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick out of Amazon, back on the field?
No. Baker Mayfield actually has a little bit of ability, and he's got McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and a great defense.
How about Brother Brissett walking down the hall saying, you don't need me anymore. I want you to send me to San Francisco.
Correct. Just seriously. Release me. I'll go sign there.
Seriously.
Did you watch Deshaun yesterday? They might need Brissett.
I just read you the numbers. He was worse than every game but one in their 1-31 streak a few years ago with Hugh Jackson.
What do you expect? He hasn't played a game in 2 years.
700 days.
Two days. What do you expect? Do you think he's going to look like an all-pro? All those massages?
Wow. Do you see what the owner of the Texans' wife did?
No, what did she do?
Deshaun walked toward her, apparently, to say something.
Yep.
Turned her back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Expect it. Mm-hmm.
The way you treated the franchise and then all the stuff you did?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
Go to
Cleveland. Take your money. Get out.
Yeah. Now I'll prove them wrong. You know, after everything that you've gone through, see what you can do.
Yep. Agreed.
Because that's what most football fans want to see, whether they can play or not. A lot of them push the morality to the side, Cap. Just want to see if he can win, can he lose? Can he help me in my fantasy team? All this stuff,
there's
right?
A lot of Cleveland fans that are not happy that they signed this kid.
James and Gurney on ESPN 1000. All right, James.
Good morning, fellas.
What's up, Sparkles?
James?
I think we got to put it all in perspective, right? What have we all been clamoring for, looking for progression? Field progress yesterday. You know Josh Allen has 16 turnovers. I like the fact that kid wasn't running, standing in the pockets, making bad decisions and good decisions. That's how we grow. I seen him push in the pocket. I seen him step up in the pocket. The kid's got everything we need. keep in mind, with this blank roster, we've been competitive at about 80% of our football games, dude. I don't know what anybody else is seeing. I seen 39 flash yesterday. I seen a defense that can't get any pressure on the quarterback. You can't blame a defensive coordinator when that defensive line is just standing around and dancing with each other. I don't even think they get upfield half the time more than 2 yards. So for them to really stick their nose in there and play the way they're playing, it's all about Justin. That's what I hear every single program. You know, I've been listening for 20 years. Every single program, progression for Justin. If you didn't see progression for Justin, I like the fact. Now everyone's clamoring needs to run. After 2 weeks ago, we're saying, oh my God, he's running too much. I like the fact in the second half that kid stood in the pocket, made some good decisions, made some terrible decisions, whether or not that whole Brown situation, whether or not, not a great route, but he's making decisions. He's holding on the ball a little bit too long still, but this is the progression we need. This kid, we finally have an opportunity to have a franchise quarterback, and the kid's making progression. You can't ask for anything more. I love A. Brown, man, but you've got to play this kid. Because if he just keeps progressing as this year goes on, he's going to be that much better next year, barring that he's not hurt. What's everybody clamoring for? This is a horse blank roster, and we basically are competitive in every football game.
James, we appreciate the telephone call. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are not going right for the Bears, but we do have, Jack Sanborn.
I mean, how about Sanborn? I mean, you've got to negotiate traffic. Watch him negotiate the traffic as he cuts across here. But this is just read your keys, explode, find an alley, and then go make a tackle. I mean, he is, again, the guy wasn't drafted. The guy probably doesn't run. If he lined up all the middle linebackers in the league, he wouldn't outrun anybody. He just gets to the running back before anybody else does. He's just got a knack for it. He's just really a great football player.
Oh, so good. Pass me a Marlboro, will you? Now time for the Cap and Jay Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Oh,
cut.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
Sorry.
All right, cut.
Leads the NFL in tackles.
Moist.
That kid's a beast.
Oh.
Love him.
Oh, my. You had some water? Could you pass me some water?
Need a cold shower is what you need.
Oh, Jack Sanborn. Oh.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh.
Whatever.
Oh.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut.
How about that, Shay? A cut of the day brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Oh, Jack Sanborn.
He's going to be a star. If Stink Schlereth signs off on him, he's the guy.
He's the guy.
Why does it always devolve into talking? Like, anytime you listen to these guys talk about it, too, it's always, he explodes all over the field. He's not the fastest or the quickest.
Man.
He slips right through there, squirts right through the tackles.
He's coming right.
Coming right in your face.
Oh, God.
And makes the tackle. It's usually what it is.
We have that audio.
Yeah, I mean, listen. It sounds sexual and nasty, but we're talking about explosive plays, right? That's the way they describe it. I understand it.
Wasn't it Troy Aikman that was the one that said that?
Yeah. It happens, man.
Crazy.
Sounds kinky, but it's football. I get it. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Thanks, Twitch. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Charlie, and thanks so much for being with us. We'll do this again tomorrow at 7.
Looking forward to it, man. It's what I get up to do every day is hang with you.
And take a pee. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood.
Not in the middle of the night. Not yet.
So long, everybody.
Take that.
Oh, Sanborn.
From Chicago.